begin counting the Omer. Last night we counted the 22nd day of the Omer. We start with the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkintei Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yudhei Bavavhe V'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Lim Hine Anachnu Bayem L'Kayem Mitzvat Sefirat HaOmer La'asot Nachat Ruach Le'otrenu V'la'asot Ratzon Borenu Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunernei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunernehu. And now we will read the Psalms that we read before the blessing. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yo Ahei Dawanu Heyo Igmor Biadi Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo, hasdecha leolam maase, yadicha el teref, echra el le Elohim, el yom la el gomer. Ve'avor alayich bi'erech mitvoseset v'damayich v'amar lach v'damayich ayeh v'amar lach v'damayich chayeh Barki nafshi et Adonai yohei Wahei Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo, Adonai yo hei wahei Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo. Hello, hey, good
day. Has joined.
Hey, old hold with Adar Levashta. Oh, te or kushalma. No te shemaim karia. Step three is to say the blessing. Baruch ata Adonai Yohei wahei Adanu yo Yohei dawanu heyo Yud hei wav hei Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sefirat haomer. Baruch Shem Kibod Malchuto Le'olam Moed. my computer jumped. I lost track of where I was, so I know I was in saying the blessing. And so I'm going to start over because I've grounded the energy from what was said that wasn't completed. Baruch Ata Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Yud He Wav He Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Al Sevirat HaOmer. Hayom Shaloshim V'Esrim Yom LaOmer Shehem Shalosha Shavuot V'Yom Sheni. Today is the 23rd day of the Omer, which is 3 weeks and 2 days. The inner light, Harachaman, Hu Yachatzir Avodat Beit HaMikdash Lim Koma, Bimheira Biyameinu, Amen. Psalm 67. Lam Natseach Bin Ginot Mizmor Shir. Eloheinu Yechanenu Yivarkenu Elohim Bayaer Panav Itanu Sela. Lada'at ba'aretz darkecha b'kol goyim yeshuatecha. Amim, yoducha amim Elohim, yoducha amim kulam. Yismechu v'ranenu ki. The letter Vav of Tishbot is the 23rd letter in this 49-letter verse. The letter Vav is a hook, and being a hook, it connects things together. You can visualize the letter Vav as having a hook on both ends, and therefore it's connecting Malchut through Zeranpin to Bina. It's really about looking at our own character traits to see what letter, what aspect of the Vav is going to be needing to change about ourselves so that we can keep unified with all of the different levels of our life, our business world, our family world, our Torah world, our education, our enjoyments. All of these things are different levels and they need to be unified. And we unify them with our character traits. The word ki is the 23rd word in Psalm 67. The word ki, kaf yud, has a gematria of 30, which is the letter lamed. The word ki, the letter lamed, is teaching. Who are you able to teach? What are you teaching? What are you teaching your children? What are you teaching your spouses? What are you teaching the people around you? All of this can be evaluated through your character traits. Which of those character traits need to be changed so that you can teach more, better, more completely? Yoduchamim Elohim, Yoduchamim Kulam, Eretz Natna Yevula Yevarkenu Elohim Eloheinu. Yevarkenu Elohim Veyiru Oto, Kal Achse Aretz. The Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir, Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yutach Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbeinu, Tacharenu Nora. Upreshayan Sintet Nun. Na Gibor. The letter Gimel, the second letter in the fourth verse. The letter Gimel is a camel in Hebrew. I miscounted, but we are in the fourth week, so we should be looking at the fourth verse, which is Barchem Tacharem. And the second word in that fourth verse is the letter Tet. The letter Tet has two lines coming down. One is a curved line and one is a straight line. We can choose the second line, which is the straight line, to consider when it is appropriate to be curved in your relationship of others. Is it ever proper to be less than straight with another person? When is it proper to be less than straight? Why would it be proper to be less than straight? Under what conditions? And how does this internal discussion within yourself help you to change your character traits? Which ones? And why do they need to be changed? Rachame sidkatcha tamid gamlem betet resh tzaritach gimel chasin kadosh birov tuvcha nael adatecha et kuf bet tet nunayim yachid geye Lamcha p'nei zokre kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu kabel Ushma tziyakatenu Yodea ta'alumot Shin Kufwat Vav Tzadiyut Ta. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper, Park Shin Kiva Machta. The 23rd journey of the 42 journeys in the walking in the desert from the Exodus of Egypt until we entered the land, 42 journeys. The 23rd journey is leaving Mechalot and camping in Tahat. The cycles of life are moving from high to low. Tahat means below, referring to a lowly state, the lowlands of Mechalot. Tahat are the low points and downers in our life. Some of these low points follow success. This downward journey, which comes just after the midpoint of the 22 letters, the 42 journeys, may also refer to the middle age blues. May also refer to the midlife crises. Another application of Tahat is the depths that we fall to when we leave Mechalot, when we forsake and abandon unity. Yet we have the power to transform Tahat, the lowliness, into a place of peace. Where we each dwell beneath Tahat, being below our vine and our fig tree. The low life, the low points of our life are part of those journey. They're just part of the journey. Would you like to shorten this journey? And now we will read the paragraph to complete the counting of the Omer. Ribono shel olam, ata tzevitanu al yedei Moshe. Avdecha lispor sepirata omer, yedei letacharenu miklipotenu umtumatenu, kimo shekatavta betorata huspartem lachem, mimacharat hashabbat miyom haviachem, et omer, teha tenufa sheva shabbatot tmimot teyineda. Mimacharat ha-shabbat ha-shavit ha-sefiru Kamishim yom kidei she-yitacharu nafshot Amcha Yisrael mizo ha-matam Uvachen yehi ratzon milfanecha Adonai yohei wahei adanu yo Yohei dawanu hei yo Eloheinu Elohai avotenu shebisut sefirut ha-omer shesafarti hayom yetukan ma shebagamti besefira givura shebenetza. Givura has the meaning of power. Judgment, power, strength. What is power of eternity look like? What is the power that's needed to be used to generate
has joined
eternal victory? V'yetaher v'yetkadesh v'kdusha shel ma'ala. Amen, Selah. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 23rd day of the Omer, Rabbi Ezra Rachmiel Rabinowitz of Peshicha, Rabbi Moshe Mordechai Torsky of Trisk, Rabbi Raphael Benjamin Levine, and while we have completed the counting, there's more for you to read if you wish that helps in your determining what is right for you. So we will now go into our deep Zohar class, which we are studying section 29 of Parashat Vayera. And I believe we are at verse 404. Levatar amar hake hai tzadik tizake lemesak lehahu hikar ila adiyok neya mit patach bekar se yikareya wakein lekol tzadik the tzadik diyok neleila. God hawala tata liavtacha lehahi o nishmata kadisha. The translation of this verse: afterwards he said, the image of this righteous man who has merited to be elevated up to that glory on high is engraved on the throne of glory, and each and every righteous person has his image above in the Garden of Eden, just as it was down below in this world. This secures the holy soul and ensures its resurrection in a body in this world. This verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts. Anybody have any comments or thoughts, questions about this verse? What does it mean to engrave the image of a righteous man upon the throne of glory? And why, by engraving the image on the throne of glory, does that ensure that that image is going to be resurrected?
Well, instead of the Zohar, I'm doing this part, that you are engraving the covenant. I don't know if that's the right word, covenant of Hashem, on your soul, or purifying your soul.
Well, yeah, the purification of the soul takes place, and the effective purification of the soul is the soul becomes righteous. But the soul is righteous all along, unless it is through the actions of the soul that gets blemished. But the soul is righteous, but it's trying to train the body that isn't righteous. And when it achieves that training, when the soul has trained the body, then that image of the body, which is the soul, the same garment that the soul is wearing when it goes up to heaven. It wears an image of the physical body. And that's what's being engraved on the throne of glory. The image of the physical body of that righteous soul. Because that righteous soul has trained the body to be righteous, to only do correct actions.
Well, that's
not to follow its lusts. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's why you're resurrected back into your body, your last reincarnation body, right? And that's why you're reincarnated into that body for a brief period of time, right? And once.
For 1,000 years.
Yeah, once that 1,000 years over, then you become, unified with Adam Courtney.
With other parts of your soul, yes.
Okay.
So the image we have here of engraving the image of the body onto the throne of glory is now Hashem would know which body to put which parts of the souls into it when it's resurrected. And then the 1,000 years of peace and serenity that will come with that, the resurrection of all the different bodies over all the generations. It's not just the last body. Any part of your soul that is corrected in a given lifetime, that part of your soul is going to be resurrected and put into the body that has now been reborn, been restored to life. And then during the 1,000 years, my perception is that the various parts of the soul are going to become unified through their interactions with each other.
So what happens to the parts of the body that wasn't corrected?
They were corrected in other parts of in other lifetimes.
Okay.
So they don't get restored into the body of that's been resurrected, but whatever lifetime they were corrected, those parts of the soul are going to be put back into that body. And that's why every life that you have lived is all going to be resurrected. All of the living people who ever existed on earth are going to be resurrected. And that's why we have a prophecy that all of the world will become Israel. Because what is the meaning of all of the world will become Israel? Is we need that space for all these different bodies.
You mean space as in earth-dwelling space or space in the body?
Well, I'm describing space in earth-dwelling places. But it could also be space in the body.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at what the words of the prophecies are.
So there's going to be there's a Malka 1-10, let's just say. So if Malka is resurrected, there will be 10 Malkas, not 10 Sol and 1 Malka.
Correct. There will be 10 bodies of Malka. And they will not have all of the soul parts in each of those bodies, but only those soul parts that achieved their tikkun in the lifetime that body lived. And somehow, which is not described, we don't know how, all of those soul parts are going to come and unify into one body of Malka. But it won't be that any of those bodies die. It's all what we don't understand. It's not really described because it doesn't apply to this world of Tikkun except from the standpoint of the prophecies that every life will be resurrected. The only part we don't really understand is how did all these soul parts get unified?
Well, I know a human being can have 2, 3, 4, 5 souls within it. So those souls...
A maximum of 4 souls within it. A maximum of 4 souls at any given lifetime.
Okay.
At any given time. They won't necessarily be the same four souls from one day to the next. They could be different souls.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Is it beginning to become a little clearer?
Yes, and I understand. So, individuals need to rectify a portion of their soul port. And we have 613 nefesh. So it could be, as I think we talked about before, it could be a big toe of someone, or it could be that soul, like you said earlier, didn't do the mitzvah when they were supposed to, so they had to come back and do that one mitzvah.
Correct
that one part of the 613.
Correct.
So that they can be elevated and be unified with their whole soul part. With their soul, not soul part, but their soul will be completed for unification or purification.
Correct.
Okay.
So I'm going on to verse 405, unless there is somebody else or another question. Wehainu de amar Rabbi Yochanan, my diktiv shemesh yarea amad zivula tezacharan gufa denishmata dekaimin debeidra kadisha ila Dileila kidyokna Behawa kain Beara Wehahio Teyuk yokna Mimzona Manaat Nishmata Wehahio Atida Leit Labash Bahai Garma The Ishta are the Yara, we are a meet avar. Minea the Ufala, Tinea levara the Dahu de it kere, Kedusha. Rabbi Yochanan said that the verse, the sun and the moon stood in their habitation, teaches us that the body and the soul are in the holy supernal chamber above and shine in the same image there as they had on the earth in this world. And the sustenance of this image, of this world, comes from the pleasure of the soul. And it shall enter into this bone, which is called luz, that remains intact in the earth, until the dead shall rise. The earth is conceived by it and throws out its refuse. This image is called holy. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Why is the earth conceived by the rising of the dead? The soul and the image of the body are called holy, which means this tzaddik was chosen by Hashem while still on earth. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I have an image of the loose bond being like a hologram. You know?
Yes. It could very well be. I mean, we don't really know, but what the Zohar is trying to teach us is that the image from the image that was carved into the holy throne is going to, that image has got energy, and that energy is going to be put into the loose bone. And from the loose bone, it's going to grow into the body. And all of the other parts of the body will have been restored. Then once the body is restored, the soul will be put into that body. Now, it won't be the whole soul, but only those parts of the soul that were achieved the tikkun in the lifetime that that body lived.
Reminds me of the goal line, too.
Say again?
Reminds me of what we spoke of the other day about a, what is it called, a golem, where you make your...
A golem. It's a mem at the end.
Yeah, golem. Yeah.
So the golem, it's very similar. The body is a golem.
Right.
If the body is considered clothing to the soul, but... It represents a golem, is a, just a body with given enough energy to do a particular task.
Mm-hmm.
Where each human being is given multitasks to do, or is capable of doing multitasks.
So maybe the resurrection of the bodies of our former lives, maybe that is what we have to do. We come into, these bodies come into existence to do that one task, you know, to correct that task.
Right.
And it, like you said, it may take 1,000 years to do that.
Well, it's already taken 3,500 years, but
yeah.
Once the soul comes into the body, and the body has been restored, how long it's going to take for all of those soul parts to find the right combination and decide which one is going to restore itself, and how, where, which body is going to receive all of the different parts of the soul? That may take 1,000 years. But all of that 1,000 years is described as being peaceful and serene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's known as the world that is coming. Can I go on to the next verse? Wekad kaima diokna ahio dileila ata bekol yarcha lesagda kame malka kadisha berichu dikti wechaya midechodesh bechadsho. Ahaya Metaya Adit Bhaktat Lehahu Zimnakim Adit Basar Ahidiktiv Vihashem Akad Etzara Kaasher Amar Vihayahu Yomadisade Kud Shabarihu Beovado Ahidiktiv Isma Hashem b'ma'asav. So when this image of this world exists above, it then comes on every first day of the month to bow before the Holy One, blessed be He, as it is written. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another. And He, the Holy King, says to it, at the time appointed, I will return to you, referring to the time when He shall be resurrected, when He shall resurrect the dead in the future, when it will be visited as was promised. And this is why it is written, and Hashem visited Sarah as He had said. This is the day when the Holy One, blessed be He, shall rejoice with His creations, as it is written. Hashem shall rejoice in His works. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Remember, to be called Sarah, the body has been taught by the soul to do righteous actions. Yet the body does these actions as reactive behavior. Questions, thoughts, comments.
Well, there's a secret there.
Yes, there is.
The body lust, but the body's trying to train it not to behave. I mean, the soul is trying to train the body not to behave in that manner. So it's, you know, it's a struggle. But there's your answer to becoming righteous and having the engraved image of the glory of the throne.
The image of the body is engraved on the holy throne. And now the body has been resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
And because the image was on the holy throne, the image of the body is righteous. The body is righteous. The soul is righteous. When they're put together, they're righteous. But now the body is called Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
It represents that. And just as Hashem said to Sarah, I will visit you next year. Here it's saying, Hashem is saying to the body who's being resurrected, I will visit you again. And when I visit you again, you're going to be righteous. And your soul will be restored, which is righteous. And that is what's referred to as Olam Haba, the world that is coming. So, we are out of time. We'll pick up tomorrow with verse 407.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to think about from what we read today. Shalom, shalom gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. Too.
Thank you.